And welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters, a day 149. Almost at another milestone. Oh, here we go. You ever had one of those days? Those days when you wish you'd never got out of bed? Can you guys let me know if you can hear a buzzing? I'm not interested in fanic. Can you hear it? It goes like that when it gets too hot. Can I just mention how hot it is? It's oppressively hot. I reckon this is the hottest day of the year. It certainly is here. Look at Jonathan. Yes, that's particularly how I feel, Jonathan. I am not a happy bunny. But good evening to you. Hello, Paul.
I can't hear any buzzing.
Well, put your head there and you will.
No.
Bodes well. Oh, Kim. Kiva was sweet today once we were out walking. Stopped to do some minor training. Oh, not at all sure Lola does minor training or major training either. You started walking. Kiva didn't follow. Oh, and she finally came carrying her empty poop bag I dropped. Oh, that's so sweet.
Lola doesn't do that.
No, Lola has people for all of that. She's so spoilt. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Oh, that's so cute. It's horrible, isn't it, Jonathan? It's hideous beyond belief.
We've got these little rolls of poo bags, haven't we?
Yeah, we have.
And the idea is that you put them in the a little container on the lead. But I have one permanently in my pocket.
Just in case.
You never know when you might need it. She could do it anywhere, not just when she's out.
I remember Mayo when he was a puppy. Oh, I got into terrible trouble with my mother. I'm sure I've told you this, but it's so funny.
You're interrupting my story.
Oh, go on, you carry on.
Yeah, well, it's this roll of bin bags and bin bags.
No, she doesn't need bin bags, not even on a bad day.
Poo bags. And sometimes what I'll do, because they're not in a container, is I'll pull a tissue out of my pocket or I'll pull my AirPods case out of my pocket and the whole lot will unravel.
Should have an elastic band on it or put it in the container, Mike. No, I went out.
I'm very quiet, apparently.
Oh, it's very quiet. Are you actually talking
to
the microphone?
Yes, I'm talking to the microphone.
I've not made any changes whatsoever.
Is the microphone on? Yes, it's on.
How's that? Say hello, Mike.
Mary had a little lamb.
That looks all right to me.
Fleece is white as snow.
I think you're okay now.
Right.
I think it had melted.
It had melted.
Yes.
You mean you turned me down?
No, I think I'd actually turned you off last night.
There's really?
A long story.
That's why you couldn't hear me, folks.
There is a reason. Apart from the fact that you've now broken the audio interface, there is a reason.
I wasn't
here
last
night, was I?
So
let me CQ Deb before we go any further. Yes, I left the house with Maya. He'd already partaken of the garden. And I'd gone out with my mum. She was paying a credit card bill. I had no poo bags. He performed outside the bank. Mum had to take her credit card bill out of the envelope and give me the envelope. She never forgave me for that. Mum was very organised. Things were in envelopes.
That means they won't have heard my story then.
Tell them again.
Shall I tell them again?
Tell them again.
What I was saying was I have this small roll of poo bags, which is supposed to go into a little container, plastic container, that hangs off the end of the lead. But I just have the roll in my pocket because you never know when you might need them. And sometimes when I pull a tissue out of my pocket or I pull my AirPods case out of my pocket, the whole thing comes out, falls on the floor and unravels. So there's this whole stream of poo bags along the pavement.
Oh, it's like the Andrex ad, you mean?
That's the one.
Now, why on earth, this is a question for you, why on earth would I have turned my microphone off?
Because I wasn't in last night.
You weren't, but I would normally leave it open anyway. There is a reason. Shall I tell them what the reason is? Shall I post something in here as a surprise? Jonathan, what are you up to later? Just saying.
Speaking to Mummy and Daddy Isaacs.
Yeah, I think that might have to be binned. Just saying.
Yes.
So who's going to click the link first and tell me what that is? I'm reckoning Jonathan might get there, but Paul might beat him. On the other hand, Kim might get there first. Oh, excitement. Who's going to say what that is first? Hey, Kim! That is why I'd muted Mike's microphone. Because I was recording in here and Mike was recording in his new little office, which is the studio. So, guess what's happening at 8 o'clock? Premiere time! Specially for you lovely, lovely MacBiters on MacBites FM.
I was going to say, when Johnny said it's 30 degrees and too hot, I was going to say, consider yourself lucky you weren't recording. But that would have given the game away.
It would. Oh, it's evil for recording. We literally, I think we'd have to take breaks. I mean, if it's like this on Friday, I'm not going to be able to cope. It's that warm now, even with the industrial fan on that we've just had to turn off.
I will give up my slot on Friday.
That's very kind of you. So I can swelter and you can sit outside.
No, because then it'll be a shorter show.
But we can't do that because then Jonathan... You know what happens then? Jonathan gets a point back.
I haven't got a Scoobies, what I'm doing.
You will, Jonathan. You will not want to miss this one. I can assure you. In fact, do you know what I just did? I actually gave you the title, didn't I? I actually had a blurred one where you were going to guess it. And I put the wrong one up. Never mind. That's the full poster. So not only do you get to hear the show early, you actually get to see the poster early without me making you guess what it is. Next time. I'll do a blurred one next time. There you go. I actually have a blurred one. It's just, I'm that hot, I don't know what I'm doing. It's now gone up to 48. I know they're saying this isn't the hottest day of the year, but it's certainly muggy, and we had the most spectacular... We've been waiting for 4 days, but the most spectacular storm last night. So bad was it, it woke Mike up. Which one, Mike usually sleeps pretty well.
Will it drop into the feed in case Grandma overruns?
You can't have Grandma overrun, Jonathan. You need better planning. I know that's pretty difficult with MacBites.
Johnny didn't have a storm.
Jonathan.
He's only 5 miles from us.
You did. You must have done. It was spectacular. It was
It woke me up, and I had an industrial fan in the bedroom too.
It started with a rumble of thunder that was that loud. I thought there'd been an accident outside.
See you later, Johnny.
See you later, Jonathan. Then that carried on for a bit, and then we got the light show. It was amazing. It did rain a little bit, but the thing was, it didn't actually make that much difference. Honestly, when it had finished, it was just as hot as it was before. Oh, it's shocking. Shocking. And I think we're suffering with it now. They're threatening thunder and lightning overnight again. But, you know, if you're not in the UK, you won't know about the idiotic things that we have to put up with. These two stories were posted on the BBC last night, so I thought I'll post the two of them. All right, can you imagine this on the same day? Notion's having a moment now. My links are in Notion. Mike, where's Notion gone?
I don't know.
Oh, hang on, it's back.
It was slow for me before.
I think it's struggling in the heat.
Yeah.
These were two stories the same day. I will admit they're probably in distance. Just having to think, maybe 150 miles apart, but even so. So let's go in with the first one. No, don't do that. Oh, it really is struggling, isn't it, Mike? Right, let's get that in. There's one. And there's the other. No. That's for crying out loud. I'm getting fraught with the heat, and now stuff isn't copying. There we go. That's the first one with the weather. And this one is the second one with the weather. About 150 miles apart. We have a very, very odd climate in this country. Very odd. Let's have a look. Yeah, we saw that today, Kim, at the Pear logo. That's Apple for you. Look at that weather. So, in one place they could do with the rain from the other place. Do you get a lot of flooding? traditionally, it was a very rare occurrence that you got really bad flooding. But probably about 15 years ago, the flooding started to get really bad, not just in rural areas, but actually people's houses. And the thing is, they've built housing estates on what's traditionally been floodplains, so it's not surprising, really. The other thing that happened, so it was a perfect storm, if you'll pardon the pun, is they stopped really maintaining the tributaries and stuff higher up in the hills and that. So it's been quite bad since then. We do get a lot of flood alerts where we are, but we are fractionally higher, so probably about 12 to 18 inches higher than the road, which is good news if it does flood. The only places I've seen it flooding near us, there is, it's not even a river, is it? It's like a tiny tributary up near the Pelican.
Yeah.
But when it burst its banks, oh wow, it flooded a hotel and an undertaker's and all the houses close by. But I would say a good 25% of the issue is just maintenance. If it rains, and it rains really heavy for maybe 10 minutes, then the road outside, the grids can't cope. But the grids can't cope because there's trees nearby and they shed their leaves, they go down the grid, and the council doesn't do anything about it. And that's the problem. But some people have it very bad. Repeatedly very, very bad. Literally, they get to a point where they've been really badly flooded and they've had the house redone and they've been in like 2 weeks and then it's off again. It's terrible for them. Also along the Thames, is it Kingston upon Thames or is it further than that? It's on the Thames anyway, between London and Oxford. Very, very expensive houses that the garden backs onto the Thames so they can go out to the regatta, darling. And those houses have been flooded when the Thames floods. Yes, there is a flood barrier on the Thames, but that's really to save London. And it's to stop a tidal surge. The Thames barrier would not stop the Thames flooding further towards Oxford. So one of the houses belonged to Debbie McGee and Paul Daniels, who are kind of entertainers in the UK. And it flooded three times till in the end, and obviously they've got the money to do it, they had the house put on stilts. I have no idea how they managed to do that. But now when it floods underneath the house and they're fine. Well, he died a couple of years ago, but she's fine. So some places are really, really bad. Other places, as you can see, there's wildfires. The weather's just insane. Insane. Hello, Anthony. Anthony will have missed this. Shall I show you the blurred one? Seeing as though I didn't put the blurred one up because I was being far too kind. Let's put the blurred one up so you can see that. Would you have guessed the title from that? Probably not. It's premiering at 8, Anthony. A number of homes in the US are in floodplains and they're on stilts. The thing is, when they build here, they don't seem to take any notice. I remember when we moved out to that little village 20-odd miles away. There's a huge roundabout as you come back on the main road from this tiny village. It joins this huge roundabout, which is a main road. The main road from Manchester to London, basically. So you've got the M6 at one side of it and it joined the M56. So it is a huge roundabout and it was raised. And I always wondered why they built it like that. But when you came down and you could see the grass, you know, because obviously you're higher up. When you look down, you could see it was flooding. But no one took any notice. It just flooded and then it drained away. So it wasn't causing any problems whatsoever. They obviously knew about it and built the motorway roundabout much higher up. But now when they're building, they don't seem to take any notice. There's talk about them building, I think it's as many as 3,000 homes near us. And the land near us is all farmland. There's no way it's developed in any way, shape or form. Let me try and get a map and show you. It's a huge area. So zoom in. Let's have a look. Right, basically, you've got a road called Sindelland Road at the bottom. So there's a huge Moss Lane, Carrington Way, Sindelland Road at the bottom. Then you've got this bit, which is Manor Avenue, which goes straight up. And then you've got a bit across the top, which is the A6144. And it says Carrington Business Park. And it circles, those roads circle huge swathes of land. And they are talking about building on it. The thing is, it's called Carrington Moss, and it floods. So hopefully that'll show you the right bit. It's the big bit in the middle. If you zoom in a little bit, you can see there's Manchester United's training ground. So if you zoom in just a fraction, in fact, let me send this link. That should be better. It's actually got the titles on it. So you've got the United training ground in the middle. That's the Aon training complex. And you can see there as well, it says Manchester United autograph waiting point. But all of the rest of that is not really built on. And they're thinking of building on it, in which case, if you look at the bottom, there is a brook, Sindelland Brook. That's the thing that's overflowing. But when it overflows, it's bad news. Why build more homes there? Because there's going to be so many empty shops shortly, because people aren't going out and buying from them. You could turn those into housing. So use brownfield sites. Don't build on more floodplains. It's ridiculous, but that's what they do. And what can we say? They do it anyway. I won't say they're corrupt, but I'll leave that to your imagination. So we're not too bad in terms of flooding. You got flooded out of your apartment and lost everything. Oh, wow. That is terrible. I really feel for people when you see, you know, they're stood there with like a little bag and a cat under their arm, and that's literally all they've got. They're not allowed to stay in their home because as they're drying it out, you know, you've got problems with mould. People's homes are so important. I mean, before we went into lockdown, early February, from the first week of February, we were having floods in Yorkshire, and these floods were really bad. And people were homeless. What on earth have they been doing for the last 6 months? Where are they? Because they can't be in their home. The stress that would give people is beyond comprehension to me. I actually consider, okay, we've not been out in what? 6th of March. How long is that?
5 months.
April, May, June, July. Yeah, 5 months. But I consider we're incredibly lucky. We have a garden for Lola to run round in. She's still on her jollies, enjoying herself. Her first mummy has come home, hasn't she, from a holiday?
She has.
And we think it was all a surprise for first mummy. People involved, there's first mummy. She was only, was she 17 when she got Lola? She was very young.
Right, 18.
They had a dog. They had a tiny dog. And this dog had been with them basically since the children were born. And it unfortunately died. It was a tiny terrier type dog. But the girl decided, they want the two girls, there's two sisters, they wanted another dog. And the mum was like, oh, you know, you're getting older and you want to be out more, and what we're going to do with the dog. And without ceremony, the mum came home. Well, one of the sisters, because the other one's the mum. One of the sisters came home with this Samoyed puppy. Well, obviously, you're going to fall in love with it instantly. But I don't think she'd appreciated the size that they grow to and the amount of exercise that they need. And being a Samoyed, attention that they need, which was pretty much what the mum had said, that the other dog was not a Samoyed. Best way you can explain it. Sammies are incredibly different, honestly. I know they look like dogs, but they're different. So very, very, very demanding. And obviously with everything else that was going on. So you actually met with the girl's mom, didn't you?
Mm.
Well, you met the girl with the dog when she was 14 weeks old, 15 weeks old. So cute. But then we didn't meet them again for a couple of years. But when we did, it was the mom. So we basically text the mom rather than Lola's mom, who is the mum's daughter. But she is a bit of a star, isn't she? She's an Instagram girl, bit of a star. And she does like holiday things, you know, pictures from holidays and that kind of stuff. I don't understand it. Influencer thing. And she's just come home. So we think having Lola there to greet her was a surprise. So Lola will probably be back later in the week. But at the moment, I'm assured she's having an absolute ball. They plan to build offices on it. Why do they need offices now? I know. That's insanity.
Because that near you, Johnny?
If they do that... That was the retail park, was it? Let me have a look at the map.
I'm trying to work out where it is.
Let me have a look. I'll tell you where it is. If it's the one next to Jonathan. Yes, that's next to Jonathan. So if they're building... Is it the Central Retail Park at Old Mill?
Yeah, it's a green area outside his flat.
It doesn't need any more, does it? It doesn't need any more. It's ridiculous. I mean, I think it goes in cycles, doesn't it? My grandparents lived quite close to the city centre. And then the sort of 60s, 70s, 80s, it was like, let's all move out to the sticks. And then it was like, no, let's move back in and we'll convert all these warehouses. Converting warehouses is one thing, but piling stuff on top of other stuff, it's ridiculous. It's fairly busy to start with. And I don't think... You don't want to lose your green area either. It would be nice to have more green areas. And I would have thought, honestly, some of these huge stores, they're not going to open again. They're not. So you might as well turn them into greenery or something. Well, turn those into housing. You know, and... I can't understand it. I can't understand it. That greenery just looks lovely. Can you see it if you put Pegman on Great Ancoat Street?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's have a look. Yeah, that looks really nice. And I don't think you need any more there. Now, your flat view's out over to that, doesn't it? So you'd basically be looking in somebody else's flat if they built there. That wouldn't be good. Well, it depends who moves in, I guess. It's unnecessary. It really is. At one point, they were building upwards, but now they seem to have run out of sky. When you think of the height of the Hilton, which you can see in the distance from Great Ancoat Street. No, it's not needed. I mean, they've built up everywhere around us. When we moved in, there was a house for sale opposite. And Mum said, I'm not moving in that one. And I said, well, why? You know, why would you go for the one you've gone for? And there was two alternative properties. One was round the corner, so it was much quieter. And there was green in front of it, and it did look really nice. And Mum said no. And she said, the kids will play ball outside. This was when kids moved outside. Because kids haven't been playing ball for years. They're on the PlayStations. But that was one of her biggest fears. And it was one of her biggest fears. It shows you how your parents affect you. Because when she lived with my gran and granddad, and they lived in the same house, so they only moved way after Mum had left. And even then, it was a housing association. And they were redoing all the houses. You know, I said they had an outside toilet. Mm. Well, they were putting them on the inside. It was a complete revamp of these houses. They were going to be like new. And Gran and Grandad had lived at the end of a block, an end of a terrace block. And all the kids congregated outside and bounced the ball off the wall all day. And it drove Mum and Dad and Gran and Grandad crazy. So she had a real phobia about living anywhere that someone would be playing outside. So she wouldn't have that house. The house opposite us opened out onto a huge green field. And the kids would play there, but I don't think you'd have been bothered by noise. It would have just been nice to look out over like a green field. And Mum said no. And I said, well, why? So she said, they'll build on that. You know, you won't be able to stop them. So I said, oh, well, yeah, maybe. Oh, she was right, wasn't she? There's now houses there. So they actually built a good few hundred houses there as well. So the people who lived opposite that had this beautiful view over greenery now look in somebody else's house. So she was quite right. Got to take my hat off to her. She was quite right. Ooh, Seattle's police chief's resigning. Yeah, this'll be the, what's it, won't it? The rioting.
Budgets, I've just seen it.
Oh, crying out loud. Jonathan, where are you going to be if they build on the central retail park and then they build on that grass bit? You're going to be sandwiched in. It's not needed. I reckon even the centre of Manchester, buildings like Debenhams could be turned into housing. I mean, Debenhams isn't going to survive this.
No, they've just cut a load more jobs.
Was it 5,000 more staff?
2,500.
Nobody goes in there and buys anymore. Nobody has done for years. So all these retail things they keep building. I mean, that retail part you're talking about, the central retail part that's now gone, that hasn't been up 5 minutes. That was new when Mum and I, when we would take Mum. So it can't have been there more than 25 years, if that. And when you look at these pictures, and it no longer tells you when these photos were taken. But it's not just shut down, it's been knocked down. So there's a huge area there. They really don't need any more. And your building just looks lovely sat there. It needs to be isolated. Tell them it needs to be isolated. You do not need anything else building. You won't be able to see the kayakers, will you? Just saying. Actually, you probably will see the kayakers, because the canal's in the middle, isn't it? But even so, you don't think they're building as high as 13 stories? There's no need. It's all Greenland. Sold for 1.9 million. That's giving it away. 5 minutes walk from the city centre. That's probably going to be the selling point, isn't it? That it's so close to the city centre. There are no words for this kind of stuff. They always seem to get the planning permission for what they need, even when later it turns out it was fraudulent, or, you know, it shouldn't have been given, the right procedures hadn't been followed. There is always something down the line. Same thing happens with Trafford all the time. Many, many moons ago, where we stood at Old Trafford, it was standing and they put seats in, and everybody wanted the seat where they'd used to stand. So we sorted all of that out with United. They were really good about that, really good. So we all got the right season tickets. We then goes to a game, and it was before the season started, 2 years later. And we're sat, the only stand they opened was the stand opposite where we would sit, which is the same place your mum and dad sit, Jonathan. And we're looking across and we're saying, our seats aren't there. And they'd literally ripped out four seats all the way up the stand. So instead of it being our seats, it was a walkway. We're like, what the actual, hyperventilating. Our season tickets arrived and they didn't have our seat numbers on. This was a calamity. So I said to Mike, you know, we're not going to get any joy out of United telling us where we're sat. We tried that. So I said, but they can't make changes like that without the council's approval. I said, so let's go to the council. So I got all dolled up in all my legal regalia that I hadn't had out for years, you know, my black suit and stuff. And we heads down to the council. So I said, I want to see the building regulation plans for Old Trafford. They broke out into hives. Oh, no, I can't do that. And I said, look, this is public record. Go and get them. They did not want to do that. But eventually they did bring them through. We unfurled these huge plans. You can imagine how big the plans were for Old Trafford. And we plotted down to the seat and we had our season tickets in our hand. And what they had to do, probably for safety reasons, was move the seats away from the wall. But it was our seat. So the season ticket we had in our hand was the nearest to what we had before. They just had to move everything four to the left. Lovely caveat on that story. When we got there, we were thinking, well, they've lost seats now. So you've got to think to yourself, if they've taken out four seats and they've given us the tickets for the nearest seats, and rippled that through right across to the end of the stand, what happened to the last four people? You know, because those seats don't exist anymore. They've ripped them out. So it was as if they'd picked up the seats, moved them to the left, dropped them and lost the four at the end. And I said to Mike, well, we've got our seats, so that's okay. I said, but what about the people at the other end? Anyway, having the plans in front of me, I did a count. So I counted the number of seats originally that were there, and it was something like 120. And then I counted on the new plan. There was 120. And I thought, there can't be. You know, because they've not extended the place. You can't get 140, 120 seats in the same space as 116. Unless, oh yes, they did. They cut 2 inches off every seat. Honestly, they did. They didn't even replace the seats. They cut 1 inch off either side of the seats. It was like a razor blade, either side. And then they put the seats back in. And that way, they got in 120 seats in the space of 116. And you wonder why I have no patience with them. I said, what have they done? And we didn't know about the inch until we got there. And I said to Mike, that seat looks weird. There's no sides on it. And then we turned it over and you could actually see the saw marks. How long would it have taken them to cut all those seats down? But they did. It's insanity. Insanity.
Changing the subject.
Yep.
We know all about washing our hands, what to do when out in public and on public transport, but one area which hasn't been
discussed.
It's
all right.
Much.
I've got that. I've got the link. It's the same one, isn't it?
Yes.
I'll put the link in. You carry on.
Well, I can't read it.
Why?
Okay, then.
If it's the one I'm thinking of, I don't see why not.
One area which hasn't been discussed much is the bedroom.
Is it this one, Mike? With the little picture?
Yes.
Yes. I had that there and I thought, yeah, I'll share that with them.
Yeah,
you know,
but this is just the summary. Sexual health charity, the Terence Higgins Trust, has published advice on how people can lower their risk of catching COVID-19 whilst enjoying a healthy sex life. Some of the tips include wearing a mask.
Where?
It's not like S&M. And choosing positions which are not face-to-face during sex.
Oh,
it may sound tough, but people need to find a way to balance our need for sex and intimacy with the risks of the spread of COVID-19.
What need for sex and intimacy? Crying out loud.
You mean you don't have a need?
No, not at all. Right. In this heat? You kidding? Celibacy's got a lot to be said for it. Who in their right minds? So you're going to take somebody home. Can I ask where from? Because the clubs and stuff are shut. Where are you meeting this mythical person you've not been with before?
Tesco's.
Oh, God's sake. This explains why we're not going to Tesco. Put on a mask and a collar.
Just have sex in the shower. There you go, Kim's got it sorted.
Oh, I see, Kim is a wise woman, isn't she?
Yeah.
Do you know, would you risk it anyway? Or is it just me? I'm not risking anything. I mean, look at what happened with your friend. Well, family member.
Yeah.
Even when you're not going out that much, there can still be calamities, can't there, Mike?
Yeah.
Oh, let me get
changing
that.
The subject again.
Yet again.
Have you heard about Celtic and Aberdeen?
No.
Celtic and Aberdeen, who, for those that don't know, are two football teams in Scotland, have had their next two Scottish Premiership matches postponed after their players broke lockdown rules. Scotland's First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, demanded the cancellation after Celtic defender Bolly Bolinyi flew to Spain, failed to quarantine and played in a match. The previous weekend, 8 Aberdeen players broke lockdown regulations by visiting a bar together.
They're closed. Where's the bar?
In Aberdeen, I presume.
Oh, there are no words. There are no words bad enough to explain it.
Anyway, there's another one I wanted to read to you. You know the Champions League and Europa League?
Yeah, the tin pot.
Yeah, well, the Champions League's being played in a mini tournament in Lisbon. The Europa League, which United were in last night, is a mini tournament in Germany. And if you progress, it's like the World Cup, you're not allowed to leave the country. So if they'd lost last night, they'd have come home. But because they didn't, they've got to stay in Germany. So it's going on here about lockdown in the hotel, blah, blah, blah. As if coronavirus tests weren't enough, there are also drug tests to think about. because players these days, as a matter of routine, they pick two or three players after a match and they have to take a drugs test. Doping control officers would usually observe from close quarters when players produce a urine sample.
That doesn't bear thinking about, but go on.
But to enable the officer to watch from a socially distanced position, players will have a mirror set up opposite the toilet.
In my head, I was convinced you were going to say they're going to give them a two-foot pipe.
A lady
two
pipe.
Two-meter pipe. A larger
pipe.
Version of the lady pipe. There are no words.
So there you go.
So Seattle's in a bit of a mess, is it, Kim? Has he resigned?
She.
For monetary reasons or the riots that you've been having? Or is it something else?
Lady pipe extra large.
Anthony, that's absolutely shocking. Seen that about the local hospital? Built on a bog, and there's a JCB under the hospital which sank, and part of the hospital has sunk as well. Do you know, I think I've seen one too many of those disaster programmes where buildings collapsed. One was a building in, was it Korea? I had a feeling it was in Seoul. It was a pink thing. I think it was a department store. And you know what they're like. And it collapsed. And it was all to do with how they'd actually built it. There we go. Sampung. Where was it? South Korea. I thought so. So in Seoul, South Korea. And there was. I think it's on YouTube. But the actual thing... on Wikipedia gives you the story, but basically it hadn't been built to code. They kept wanting extra floors putting on it, I think, and it was like one of the iconic buildings. But when you look at this pink picture of it collapsed, all of this was related to, you know, code violations like that where they'd built it wrong. Just look at the state of that, and you've got a hospital that's half sinking. And when you think of a hospital, when you think of the kind of equipment that they've got in there, like x-ray machines and the MRI stuff, aren't they incredibly heavy? Because I remember one hospital here had to have reinforcements put in so they could take this equipment in. So I'm not surprised it's sinking. That's appalling. The castle has sunk into the swamp. Oh, yeah, we pretty much do that all the time here, Paul. Look, that one wasn't over here, but I went through a phase of like watching. There was a program I used to love, Seconds from Disaster, and I don't know if it's still on some weirdy channel, but if it is, I haven't got access to it. So I went on YouTube, and the next series was on YouTube. So I started watching the second series, and without exception, it was human error. I'm pretty sure that pink one. Was that it was built to code to have like four floors and it ended up with seven. And it started creaking and stuff. Some people were pulled out alive out of that. But obviously, lots and lots died. This is what we've got to look forward to with idiots in charge. And in the UK, we've basically said build what you like now and don't worry about the planning. Which just makes it even worse, doesn't it? So with the riots and protesters demanding defunding the police, the city council decided to cut the budget. They wouldn't include her in the conversation and she had great ideas about policing. That is appalling. We have a slightly different system here in terms of police and the way that it's organised. But it's highly, highly political. But I don't think it's quite as... Who actually decides... To offer her the job? Is it the council? Is it, you know, who does that? Over here, it would be the police authority. So the council don't get involved to that level. There's no voting involved or anything. But even we've had some stupid stuff happen in that regard. There was a police... Was he a commissioner?
I don't know.
Hogan Howe. Didn't he move from...
chief constable of Merseyside.
Yeah, but didn't he come from...
He moved
from,
to the Met, didn't he?
He moved to the Met, but didn't he come from Sheffield?
Yeah.
Now, all of that might be like, and... Right. 1989, Hillsborough disaster happened. Hillsborough being a football ground in Sheffield. The people who died were Liverpool supporters. Sheffield is probably about 100 mile, 110 mile from Liverpool. There was cover-ups, there were everything. If it could go wrong, it did go wrong with Nobson. The police were prosecuted for half of it. The chief constable was prosecuted for the other half. And in the end, it ended up that there was this police officer, Hogan Howe. And Hogan Howe worked for the Yorkshire Police in Sheffield. There was then an appointment came vacant at Merseyside Police, which is Liverpool. Now, the Liverpool people never forgot this Hillsborough thing. Don't go to Liverpool and mention Hillsborough. One of the papers put this story out, which was later proved to be completely false, which was obscene. They were saying that as people were dying, the other Liverpool fans were urinating on them and robbing them. And obviously this was not true, but it got headlines. And you cannot buy the newspaper that printed that. You cannot buy it in Merseyside now. Nobody will stock it. And we are talking 31 years later. They have a long memory. So who is the last person that they should have even interviewed, considered for the post of Chief Constable of Merseyside? Hogan Howe from Sheffield. Who got the job? Hogan Howe from Sheffield. So you do wonder, you know, I think there is strings to be pulled for people to get jobs like that. So the police department's part of the city. No, it wouldn't be here. It would be separate. They'd obviously be expected to work together, but separate in terms of control, which I don't know which is best and which isn't. They've managed to stop it sinking now. It's 50 years old and only a two-storey building, very spread out, just as well, isn't it? But it would stop them kind of, you know, doubling capacity by putting two more stories on it. We've got a hospital locally, and it's as big as some of the cities that we have here. It's probably one of the most well-known hospitals in the area, in the entire northwest, which is Withenshaw. It's where Rachel works. When you actually look, it looks, I mean, I won't even say it looks like a university. It's 10 times the size of that. There's car parks all around the place. There's like shops opened up around the place because it is so, so huge. So all of the red area in this map is the hospital. It is like a city. And they do keep extending it and they keep building upwards. So good job they didn't put that anywhere dodgy, isn't it? Well, that would have long since collapsed. Right, I've got her bio. Let me have a look. We actually have a lady in charge of the Met at the minute, don't we? Isn't it still Cressida Dick?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, there's a funny story about that, do you remember? The pointless answer.
No.
This lady is called Cressida Dick. And there's a quiz over here called Pointless. And the idea with it is you've got to find answers that are obscure. So nobody gave the answer when they put the question to a range of people, and it's how many people gave that answer. So you're looking for a pointless answer. So I can't remember what on earth the question was about, unless it was police officers. But this guy stood there thinking like, oh, what answer can I give? And he said, Caressa Dick, as in Caressa rather than Cressida, which when said together is most unfortunate. Well, the entire studio just went, didn't they? It was so close to being right, but so terribly wrong. It was brilliant. Carmen Best. I will have a read of that later. She looks very... I'm loving that smile. That smile's really nice. You can tell a lot about people with a smile and the eyes. I think it's shocking. But if she's resigned, she's... morality involved, and clearly not the others. Good grief. About 2 years older than I am. And she worked in the army. Wow. Why do they get rid of the best people? Why do they make it so untenable? I don't understand. If you mean Withy, yes, Withenshaw is incredibly complicated. It is one of the biggest hospitals that we have around here. We have some very good hospitals. We're actually very well placed. We had a friend who moved into... They wanted to move to this place for years and years, but his wife had cancer. And they decided, you know, we might as well do it now. And they moved. And I thought, how odd that you would move from an area with some of the best hospitals in the world when she's terminal, irrespective of how nice the area was. We've got Withenshaw Hospital. There was Withington, but I think that's kind of satellite now. But we also have the MRI, the Manchester Royal Infirmary. We have the Children's Hospital, the Eye Hospital. And these are all dedicated specialist units. We did have Booth Hall Children's Hospital, but I think that got merged with somewhere. But they are some of the best hospitals in the country. So you would be well placed if you were looking for treatment. So I can't understand why you'd leave the area. Oh, and there's Hope as well, isn't there? Mm. Which is now Salford Royal. So that's where they took Alex Ferguson when he had his brain hemorrhage. So he was out in the sticks somewhere in Macclesfield, probably about 25 miles away. They got him stable and then took him straight to Salford Royal Infirmary because that's the specialist place. They've actually put some videos up. There is a spinal unit at Salford Royal and they do these operations where they have to... They're working on the neck area for... Oh, what's it called? Acispons. I'm not sure what the first word is, but I think it's spondylitis than the second word. But it's known as acispons. But basically, it's a curvature of the spine where the head is actually like looking down at the floor. There was an amazing video of the work they did. You have to have the patient immobilised for like 13 hours, which apparently is incredibly dangerous. So to make it safer, and like one slip and they'll never walk again, they 3D printed a kind of operating table. So they could put this patient basically like in a neck brace from the front to the back. And the difference in this patient from before to after was unspeakable. It was amazing. I must find the video. It's on YouTube somewhere. I will find the video. I will find that. She's the only public official that has your respect. It's shocking. It is shocking. And sad. We had a teacher over here who was renowned as being amazing. He went into failing schools and turned them round. And he got on TV in a programme. Was it Educating Greater Manchester or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
And before you know it, they got the knives out for him and they got him sacked. And you're thinking, why? Why would you do that?
Well, but, what was his name?
Oh, I can't remember his name.
Was it Povey?
Oh, was it Grant Povey?
No. Grant Bovey was...
No, it was Povey, I think you're right.
Was it Andrew?
No, I can't remember. But, you know, he'd been on the TV and he had changed lives.
Andrew Povey, I think.
I don't know what he's doing now, does it say? Because he quit in the end.
Drew Povey.
That's it. The one. He quit in the end, just like that lady did. He said he's not wasting time. That they put him on suspension and put in a temporary head teacher. Well, obviously, the whole school's like, whoa. He was a leader, a true leader. And you've got this kind of temporary person that's not invested in it because, you know, they're going to get moved on anyway. And the guy might be coming back, or on the other hand, he might not be. And they kept putting off the date of this hearing and putting it off and putting it off. I think it was about 9 months in the end. And in the end, he said, you know what? I quit. He said, because you need a head teacher at that school that is invested in that school, not some temporary person looking after it. It's affecting the children, so I quit. You go find somebody. Which is amazing, isn't it? If you're any good, then the knives are out for you. It was a wonderful video, Kim. Rachel told me about it because she worked there at the time. She worked at Salford Royal before she moved to Withenshaw. Let me see if I can find it. It would be... I can't remember the name of the specialist, but he was the specialist that she worked with. So it was definitely Salford Royal. Let's try... And it involved an operation, so let's try that. And it'd be about a year ago. No, it was a lady. I've got Salford Royal, though. So if I can find Salford Royal, I should be able to find the video. Oh, is that... Hang on. Helping Helen. That's the one. It was 10 minutes long, but it's so, so worth a watch. Is this the right lady? Yeah, this is it. From a technology perspective, the fact they were 3D printing this stuff. And the thing was, the doctors... There it is, the name of it. Let's go back a bit. Ankylosing spondylitis, a long-term chronic condition with no cure. The doctors didn't know about the 3D printing, and the people at the tech, you know, who knew about the 3D printing, didn't exactly know about the need that a patient would have, which put the two together. Amazing. There's the video. Take a look at it later. That's exactly it, isn't it? She's resigning for the best of reasons, which means, sadly, she is the person best suited for the job. It's the ones clinging on to their jobs that should go. Oh, it's so annoying. So annoying. Oh, he's actually done a book, has he? I did not know that. Right, let's have a look. Was it Educating Yorkshire, the programme, or Educating Greater Manchester? Because it was Harrop School, which is very close here. Yeah, that was the book that came out. So that was 2017, which was about when all of that kicked off. But he did seem to be an amazing leader, and he got the absolute best out of the children. Without even trying, they just respected him, which is incredible. I'd love to know what he was doing now, because he did just walk out. What can you do when they've got the knives out for you? But he left for the best of reasons. Maybe I should get that book and read it. You know, being a governor. maybe I should do that. Do you think Jonathan's getting rid of Grandma right now? Oh, I shall have to put that, the safety guide from the BBC. Why am I paying for a TV licence, Mike, for the BBC to produce garbage like... Well, actually, it's just, again...
It wasn't produced by the BBC. They're just reporting on it.
Yes, but, you know, if somebody sent me that press release, I'd be like, yeah, no. Away you go.
No, you'd be like, that'll get readers on the website.
Yeah, but you shouldn't put stuff up...
Anything to do with sex will get readers and viewers. It's guaranteed.
And that's why it shouldn't be there. That's not news.
Anything to do with Excel won't. That's why I'm in the wrong business.
That is not news, Mike. It's somebody sending a press release in and them thinking...
I should start trading...
Oh, my God, I've got down to paragraph 5.
I should start trading sex, shouldn't I? Not Excel.
Mike and the women?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to get on to Stuart about that. I mean, this says... Well, I won't tell you what it says. It's disgusting. But as it carries on, it says, we should still be socially distancing, but it's unrealistic. I said to Mike, if people... who's seen that...
Good evening, Tracy.
Good evening, Tracy. You have arrived just at the right time. So I can explain what's happening at 8 o'clock. What was I saying?
You're talking about sex.
I was not talking about sex. I was talking about this. Socially distant. Oh, that film, Contagion. What's her name was in it? Kate Winslet. And basically, it was similar to what we've got going on now with COVID. But when they dropped, you know, there would be blood from the nose and the mouth, and they'd be foaming at the mouth. Do you know, maybe if people saw videos of people in hospital breathing their last, they wouldn't think that being safe during sex was actually that important. Now, Tracy, you're probably thinking, whoa, what's going on? That's the story we're talking about. We're wondering why the BBC is spending money putting stories like that up when we need to be socially distancing. But obviously, have you seen paragraph 4, 5, 6?
No.
Do enjoy paragraph 6, alone, as it were. I mean, did the BBC have to tell you that? In the news section, where there are children... I'll admit most children could teach adults, but that isn't the point either. Oh, you know the 5,000 jobs Debenhams lost? Now it's only 2,500. Look, doesn't look like the BBC can count either. Oh, and the other calamity is the Scottish school children who work a month ahead of the UK school children have got the results and they're not happy with them. So they're binning the lot. I think they'd have been better off sitting the exams. Oh, it is. It's unbelievable. Oh, have you got a breeze in the Pyrenees, Tracy? We do not have a breeze here. We are now up to 49 degrees. But luckily, we have only 4 minutes before we can turn the fan on. Because at 8 o'clock, we have something special. Oh, indeed. We have the Lesser Spotted Macbites 129 previewing for you. Shall we have a look what was in it? Let me have a look. I haven't put the show notes up yet. I know where I'll go. Let's have a look what was in it. What shall we tease you with? Is there anything I can actually say that wouldn't spoil it? We have an app review. Mike has a focus on one of his passions. No, not the women, obviously. We touch on Memojis and the interrogation and the earnings call. Lots in it with the usual MacBite spin. Oh, and a Billy Doo from Graham. A Billy Doo from Graham. So, yes, there's going to be lots in 129. Exactly, Kim. See what I mean? And this is supposed to be the BBC. You know, anti. Safe for people. They're also recommending toys of a rather adult nature. They make out that people are like animals and that they've not got the logic. I mean, if you're with somebody and you're isolating with them, then you're minted. But honestly, meeting people, where? You can't even go in a pub and have a drink without coming out and we need your name. And that's going so well, they've had to sack 6,000 of the contact tracers because they couldn't see their own illuminated backside with a torch. So, yes, normal service at UK headquarters. Do you think they're retraining the COVID testers to become phone sex partners? Oh. That'd work. What are you smirking at?
I'm not smirking.
You're smirking.
I'm not smirking.
Mm. Strange. Does it spread through sex? Well, seeing as though you're breathing the same air.
Not if you're wearing a mask.
They're actually quoting Dr. Alex.
Who's Dr. Alex?
He's an A&E doctor, but he went on Love Island. Well, you know, there's your credibility shot right there and then. Two for the price of one. Well, they couldn't be any worse at that, could they, than they are at contact tracing people, because that's not going well. Look at that beach in South Korea while I'm at it. All the little umbrella things, the parasols, are 2 metres apart. And you look at our beaches and you're basically sat on top of the person next to you. Which is why we'll be in lockdown forever and ever and ever. Amen. Mind you, proving productive, isn't it, Mike? Tracers and phone sex all in one call. That would work. Hey, it might make the people answering the phone more likely to talk to you if there was a little bonus at the end of it. Can I sound incredibly naive, Mike?
Contact tracing. What can I do for you, baby?
Can I ask a rather pertinent question?
Yeah.
What exactly is phone sex?
When you ring up a sex line, I presume.
No. I think it's more than that.
Is it? Oh, isn't it time for Matt Bites?
On that point, we can legitimately say, oh, look, it's time for Matt Bites. But it is indeed time for Matt Bites. Do you think Jonathan's got rid of Granny yet?
No.
I don't think he has either. I will put it on repeat play. Can't say fairer than that. So the show is... hang on. The show isn't actually keyed up to play. Just a minute. Can't get the staff. Right, let me get the show in ready to play. That will let me know how long it was. It is 1 hour, 3 minutes, 24. So we'll play it twice. Now, the badge on the radio station will still say live, because obviously we're playing it live. But I'll leave a comment in the comments so people know what we're doing. But if you think of anything you'd like to say in the middle of the show, just add it to the text. I can't guarantee I'll be watching it every second, but I will keep an eye on it, I promise. So, for the moment, it's good night from me.
It's good night from me.
And we'll both
see,
see you next time. Stay safe, guys.